There was a discussion in our office yesterday about op shopping. And apparently, the conclusion reached was that op shopping, you know, going to the charity shop, the thrift shop, whatever you refer to it as, op shopping is much more fun for women than men because there are many more options for women than men. Is that true? Op shoppers, I would love to hear from you this morning. What's been your experience op shopping? Is it better for women than men? 1300 222 612. Is it because men hang on to their clothes longer? Women have too many clothes, perhaps. Is that a gender stereotype or is it true? Got too many clothes, so they donate to charity more often? We're going to go through your wardrobe this morning. Fast fashion, slow clothing. You're about to meet the woman who is taking her upcycling message higher and higher around the world.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane with Rebecca Levingston.
And how high can she go? Well, I tell you what, fickle fashion, or fast fashion, made it into Alan Kohler's finance report on the ABC News on Monday night. I was surprised.
And the Australian dollar didn't move at all, steady at 67.5 US cents. And finally, not exactly finance, but here's a chart of the number of times a new garment is worn in America, Europe, China and the world as a whole. It's falling everywhere, but how about China? Down from 200 times to 50. So obviously their clothes are becoming as well made as the stuff they send to America, or they are becoming slaves to fashion like everyone else. Or perhaps a bit of both. And that is finance.
Fashionista Alan Kohler on Monday night. How many times do you wear your clothes? I don't know if I'd even know, but we do know that fast fashion has become big business. And then there is Jane Milburn, who champions slow clothing, upcycling, recycling, natural fibres. Jane's just been awarded a Churchill Fellowship to investigate ways to reduce textile waste. Jane, good morning. Congratulations.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
I can't help but notice you've got the red dress on.
Yes. Yeah, this red dress is my lucky dress. I was actually wearing it at the Churchill interview. And I've decided, because the point that you allude to is we need to wear our clothes for longer. So this is something, I've worn this one, something I made for myself out of chopped up other dresses, mostly from the op shop, but one was from my own wardrobe and I wasn't wearing it. So I'm keeping track of how many times I wear this dress now.
Okay.
And I'm up to 15. Today's 16. And I did that count retrospectively by looking at my Instagram feed. And just so from now on, I'll be documenting the adventures of the red dress.
Yeah, it's like when you take or people take a gnome around the world and they take photographs of themselves with the gnome, you'll be doing it in your red dress. So, and I love that it was the one that you wore in your Churchill Fellowship. I'll get more to that and what you're going to do there in a moment. But in terms of Alan Kohler and that graph that looked at the number of times people wear their clothes, can you just expand a little bit on that in terms of what you know about how often people wear their clothes?
Well, disposability and throwing away clothes has become something that's emerged in about the last 10 years. Part of it is clothes are so cheap and we're not attached to them anymore. They used to be special. We used to have Sunday best and we would wear them more. But now I think it's like everything in society. It's just moving faster and it's cheaper. And when you delve deeper into why it's cheaper, that's, you know, very murky, as we know, mainly because cheaper fibres, synthetic fibres are being used predominantly now in clothes. And also we do have modern day slavery, which I heard Dr. Carl allude to. And it's a known thing. I really feel that if all we do is wear our clothes for longer and try and know the provenance of them, then they're really important actions we can take going forward.
Yeah, huge ramifications and on such a range of levels, not just environmental, but social and in terms of labour as well. So that $5 T-shirt that gives you the retail thrill, it's not just fast fashion, it's actually really damaging.
And I think people are understanding that now, that it's up to us as individuals to make different decisions. And Good on Alan Kohler for bringing it to attention. I think there's various hashtags. Wear again, 30 wears is considered something that would be reasonable for a garment, you know, aim for before you buy it. You know, before you buy it, will it last 30 wears? That's one question.
30 doesn't sound like that much to me.
It doesn't really, but I guess it's a low bar that we can achieve, really, isn't it?
That's really low. I mean, that's not even once a week for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm saying. I mean. Let me be the first to put my hand up and go, I've got too many clothes and, I love a bargain. Mm. But every time I have a conversation with you, you make me think much more about where that article of clothing came from and who made it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I think is the first part of the Slow Clothing Manifesto. There's 10 actions that you can take and thinking about that, you know, just that little pause before you hand over the money. And it's such a cheap thrill, isn't it? It's like a sugar hit and, you know, you sort of buy it because you think you need it and then you get home and you find you've got others like it. I mean, I don't really relate to that except that I might have had that behaviour in the op shop because, I've even had to stop op shopping, Rebecca. That's how many clothes I've got. So, you know, I'm really looking at wearing down my stockpile and simply not buying anything other than underwear and shoes. That's all I need to buy for as long as I live. You know, interesting statement to make, but that's true.
Yes. Well, it's buy nothing month as well at the moment, so you're right on trend. Op shops. Do you want to weigh in on the discussion that was had in the office yesterday, which is that op shopping is way more fun for women because there's lots more options. But what that actually means is that women buy too many clothes. Men hang on to their clothes.
I think that's true. Just if I reflect on, op shop number of racks dedicated to women's clothes rather than men's, that would definitely ring true. I think more recently men have come, more fashionably attired. So I think there is a bit more of a changeover. I think also we all have too many clothes. So the regular clean out where, I've got too many shirts, I'm sending these off where they might be useful. I think that does happen more, but it certainly is something that one of my Canberra contacts had this conversation with me, and she said more recently she's found it much easier to find clothes for her husband that she shops for in the op shop than she used to be able to. So I think men might be coming to the table now. They might be arising, their opportunity.
Jane Milburn in studio. She's just been successful in being awarded a Churchill Fellowship to investigate ways to reduce textile waste. Jane's been a long-time champion of slow clothing, of upcycling. Just on upcycling, Irene says, Beck, a lot of the clothes now, the elastic fails very quickly, so the item is still perfect but unwearable. Do you think that comes back to the fact that we don't sew the way people used to in the past as well?
No, it's also about garment construction because I've had this issue myself. The elastic is often sewn in now, so if you want to replace it, you have to do harder work. But I'll just give Irene a hack tip here. I just put a bit of bias binding around it and thread another piece of elastic through that binding rather than deconstructing the whole thing. Sometimes it works. It might make a waistline more bulky, but, I've found that that works. Otherwise, it is just about saying, well, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to unpick it and replace it. And these sort of actions, in a way, that's what my Churchill is about. It's about the actions that we take, making, amending, adapting, and how they enhance our well-being. So it actually makes us feel good when we triumph over these things and rescue a garment. You know, you can donate that to the op shop, but it would just become a rag. You know, nobody else needs it. So when you take action yourself and think, I can do this. And it's not hard. Like, I am self-taught in my sewing. It's not something I necessarily have to say, but I mean, everyone can learn. I had lunch yesterday with one of the women who was in the Slow Clothing Project, and she self-taught herself to sew as an adult because she thought, I want these skills. And she makes 80% of her wardrobe now. So, I mean, there's different times in your life where you may or may not want to do that. But I think the convenience of the supply chain, and we see the ramifications of that with that graph, you know, and the fact that, I mean, in Four Corners there was a program about indentured labour in China. These are really quite depressing things when you think about it. That's why it's cheap. And when we take action ourselves and at least do some at least do something, you know, replace the elastic, mend the hem, stitch on a button again, do a little repair with, you know, pretty gold stitching as, you know, happens with the pottery in Japan. I mean, that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at over there. Japan's one of the countries I'm visiting. So I just think that if we take a deep breath, sit back and think more about what small changes we can make to affect a bigger change in the world.
Yeah, I'm wondering as well in the work that you've done, because you go around and speak to a lot of community groups and talk about understanding that whole sort of textile cycle. What is there a particular group or generation who you think are interested in deriving well-being from that kind of awareness? Because the reality is for a lot of, and I'm just going to lump them all in, busy working mothers, the time to sew is just not there. So, or is it in the people that you're working with? Or is it a you know, retirees more so? What are you seeing?
I think it is everyone. And I think it's something that you can do with your children. Like, I get the busy mother thing. I've got three grown-up children and, you know, it's probably only as I went through that you know, I understand where you're coming from. But we all have a certain amount of time we can dedicate to things. And I well remember going shopping with my daughter for various special dresses and things. And it would drive me mad, the number of hours, sometimes days, that it would take to find something suitable. I kind of think, hello, couldn't we have made something? But, you know, I get that. But it's just making small changes, Rebecca. It's just, and at the moment, I know you've got your fabulous mother to do your mending. And a lot of people have that.
She's but my
it's
secret
kind
weapon.
Of like, yeah, you know, I just don't think we can get away from, it's like how we want to cook our own meals and know where the food comes from. Like, you don't do that every night necessarily, but, you know, it's good to do these things some of the time. Mm. And when you start doing it, you kind of think, oh, well, that's not too hard. That didn't take too long. And I love stitching at night when I'm watching. Like, there's lots of shows on the ABC I love watching. And, you know, I'll often have a little project that I'll be working on there. Last night I was at friends for dinner and I just took along a little project and I was stitching something that I needed to be doing. And
Jane, you know, Milburn invited to a dinner party and she will sew.
It just saves you. You know, like, you do less drinking if you're doing that. Oh. You know, it's using your hands in productive ways, the way they were meant to.
I love this text from Gary in Toowoomba. It's a bit of confession, really. He says, my wife asked me to take the items in the back of our car to the op shop. A few hours later, she was looking for her new $250 sandals that she left in the car the week before. Apparently it was my fault, says Gary. Man, well, who pays $250 for sandals, Gary? That's what I'm asking. Now that you've confessed it, you can take that weight off your shoulders. Jane Milburn in studio. There's an event coming up in November that she's keen for you to get along to as well. But I want to find out more about your Churchill Fellowship. You mentioned, just explain how it works, where you'll go.
I'm a 2019 Churchill Fellow, but you don't actually travel till next year. And the opportunity is you put up a project and to travel for 8 weeks. I've said I'd like to go to Japan, the US, the UK, the Netherlands and Germany. So similar countries that are consumerist oriented, yet I know from my work, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, you know, the fabulous social media tools, that there are a lot of people creating change in these spaces. And I want to go and see what's going on there and bring it back and apply it in Australia. That's the whole purpose of a Churchill Fellowship, really the benefit to the Australian community. So whilst it's fabulous for me to be able to go, the main thing is enhancing and enabling more change in Australia when I come back.
And how do you see that playing out in terms of rural Australia? In terms of natural fibres, I'm talking about. Yeah. Is an opportunity there or not?
Well, I just think this, as I've observed the conversation around fast fashion, slow clothing, slow fashion, whatever you want to call it, fickle fashion, I think we've become aware now that 2/3 of our clothing are synthetic fibres and they're shedding microplastic and they're equivalent to plastic bottles. I mean, some of them are even made from recycled plastic bottles. And there's an issue for the circular economy around synthetics, which we're only coming to grips with. Only one third of new clothing is now made of natural fibres. And I think the thing is that we need to be wearing them for longer. We can't have more of them because there's pressure on the environment. You know, we can't grow any more natural fibres. We've got to be using them for longer. So I definitely think it elevates them. Personally, I only wear natural fibres. I'm only mending natural fibres. Like, I wouldn't put energy into mending synthetic clothes. I mean, there is a whole move to industrial recycling, which might solve some of the problems, but that's still in the pipeline. And really, the solution lies with us and our decisions. And I don't think the implication for natural fibres in Australia, I guess, to answer your question, is really that we should value them more, you know, and pay more for them to buy quality and wear it for longer.
Did you actually say that there are some clothes made from recycled bottles?
Oh, yes. Yeah, some of the swimwear and I guess some of the synthetic clothing. Like, it's actually an advertising marketing tool that, you know, we've made your clothes from recycled plastic bottles.
Mm. But you don't see that as a good thing?
Look, I think anything that helps things go round rather than using new resources like new synthetics is probably a good thing. But I guess, look, I confess to being biased. I don't wear synthetic clothes. I even have wool swimwear.
Wool swimwear?
Yes. Well, they're not actually wool swimwear. They're actually wool underwear, but I prefer to wear them over the synthetics and because there's no other alternative at the moment. But, yeah, I just think there's a whole lot more to happen in this space, Rebecca. We're only opening up the discussion really now, and people are understanding what their clothes are made from, as well as where they're made, and how we can care for them better by actually washing them less. Like, this is actually a good thing to wash your clothes less, but there's stigma attached to that. So you have to be a bit careful about how you discuss it. I'm not talking underwear, Rebecca. I'm talking outerwear.
All right. Don't get too stinky with us, Jane. So when do you think clothes should ultimately be laid to rest, if you like it? If you want us to wear them hundreds of times, you want it to be natural fibres, what should happen to them eventually?
Well, if you just reflect through history, like, you know, we didn't have a lot of change over time. People were actually buried in garments and, you know, wrapped in clothing. And
well, I suppose, you know, if they're made from natural fibres, you could compost them ultimately, could you?
Oh, totally. In fact, I just did an experiment last month where we dug it up last month and we had buried for 3 months various garments of different types of fabrics down at the Bulimba Creek Catchment Committee Sustainability Centre at Carindale. And the wool, the linen, the cotton were well on their way to becoming compost, which is returning nutrients to the soil. The lycra looked like it had just had a hard night, like it would have washed up, no worries at all. And the other one, the silk, was only started to be broken down. It's an animal fibre, so protein maybe takes a bit longer. And I think it was actually in a not-so-moist part of the compost bin.
How interesting. Mags at Miami has just messaged saying, as I'm listening to you two, I'm repairing a silk shirt that I brought home from the op shop where I work on the Gold Coast to repair. Just because it's such a waste to throw out a brand new silk shirt. It's been torn, but hopefully it's repairable. And if it's not, I'll just turn it into a beautiful silk scarf and then we'll sell that instead.
Oh, that's lovely. And you see, the little silkworm's already done its job. And I think this is what we need to be doing more, to value and appreciate everything that's around us. We're just in too much of a hurry for new, brighter, better, shinier. And it's actually when we take a step back and value those things, like the natural fibres, that, you know, we get more meaning out of life.
Yeah, it's a little bit, is it Joseph had a little overcoat? Or am I mixing up Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat? Do you remember that book? The guy had the little overcoat? He turned it into...
No, well, I can't remember that one.
My mum used to read it to me. A little overcoat. It was like a big coat.
It's a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
That's the musical, the Technicolor Dreamcoat. There's another one. Someone had a little overcoat, and it sort of went from being a coat to a shirt to a vest to a hanky to a you know, down, 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 down. Mm. Someone will know. Can someone help me out? 1300 222 612. Frank in Nambour. Hello, Frank. He says, regarding clothes and their reuse, I have trousers and suits that I had tailor-made in Singapore in 1978 that I wear regularly today. They gave 24-inch cuffs. I like their style. I look after them. I first had flares made for me in 1951 with 24-inch cuffs. They weren't even called flares back then. Nice. Thank you, Frank. I'm just trying to think. My oldest piece of clothing is probably a blue fleece jacket that I've definitely had for close to 20 years because I wore it. I had it just when I came back from America in 2001. So that's getting on to 20 years. I've definitely worn that more than 30 times, Jane.
Yeah, look, I mean, 400 times would be great, wouldn't it?
Joseph Had a Little Overcoat. That's the name of the book by Sims Tabak.
Oh, I'll have to go looking for that one.
That is a book that will be close to your heart.
I can read it to my grandson.
Yes, Joseph Had a Little Overcoat. All right, Jane, now I will see you again at Worn Out. It's a free fashion event that is put on
refashion.
By...
Refashion. It's a refashion event. Wearable art and cosplay. So, yes, it's Reverse Garbage Queensland and Brisbane City Council is sponsoring that. It's at the Princess Theatre in Woolloongabba. It's actually a free community event, so we're encouraging people to come along and wear their own refashion. Rebecca, I hear you have a pair of trousers with a story that you're going to be wearing.
The pants are that my mum made me, but they're from a piece of material that my nan had. My nan, who's passed away now, but she always kept little stashes of material. And, yeah, these are beautiful black pants with a really bright sort of floral print on them as well. And Mum found the material a couple of years ago. She said, what will I make out of this? And I said, I want a pair of really wide-legged pants because I wanted to see the pattern. So Mum made me a pair of slacks. I wear them now. Mum made them. I love that Nan had the material. Mm. And then I get to wear them probably 30, 40 years after Nan first bought the material.
So. That's quality, isn't it? It's quality of the fabric, and it's great that your mum can make them for you. We did have on offer the denim community-made dress for you if you wanted to wear that over the top of your black trousers.
You brought that into studio. What is that hanging?
So I guess it was a way of communicating that the idea that you can do what you can do with pretty much nothing. I mean, we've cut up denim jeans into strips on the bias, which is across, so they don't fray so much. And what we're doing is the frame of the dress is actually like a mesh, and we're just threading these pieces through. And so many hands have been on that garment by the time it's finished. It's about half done now. But I think you could wear something black underneath it quite easily. Like, it doesn't really, when is it ever finished? It's not necessarily something that is highly washable, but as an outer layer, I think it'll live a long time. So it's fun, and it's a way of communicating the message about reusing natural resources and plastic ones too, because the lining is actually a synthetic lining, a fabric that I bought from Reverse Garbage, and just felt that I wasn't going to be using it anytime soon. So I've donated that, and I actually made the frame of the dress, and everyone else is helping thread the denim through it. So you can see that on the 23rd of November at our Worn Out Showcase.
A refashion event at the Princess Theatre, Woolloongabba, 23rd of November. Jane will be there. Maybe she'll be also wearing the red dress that she's taking on adventures around the world, including on a Churchill Fellowship as well. Jane, good to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, Beck.